Welcome to today's Let's Talk Guthrie County program. I'm Sam McIntosh. On today's program, I'm closing out the 2020 Iowa legislative session with House District 20 Representative Ray Sorensen. So recapping the legislative session and what's gone on in the last couple of weeks as the legislature had wrapped up, what do you think of the police reform bill that Governor Reynolds has signed into law?
Yes. So, you know, I think it provides reasonable reforms, you know, to reduce racial disparities and improve police relations. Leaders from both parties in both chambers worked with the governor and members of the Black Caucus to craft the legislation. One thing I think that was important was that it was pro-police and it supported our law enforcement. You know, we don't want to hurt or abandon those good and honest law enforcement officers who are just doing their job to keep us all safe. You know, to be clear, it doesn't solve discrimination or racism, you know, but we believe it's a good first step forward. Things the bill does is, you know, it allows the Attorney General to investigate when someone is killed by law enforcement and prosecute if a criminal act has been committed, prohibits the use of a chokehold, except in limited circumstances where death or serious injury are likely. It prevents those in law enforcement who've been fired for misconduct from, you know, being employed here in this state again. It requires law enforcement to go through annual training, too, to prevent, like, the racial profiling and, you know, reduce bias. And the big thing was training them to employ de-escalation techniques. And that seemed very important, brought forth by not only law enforcement, but former military as well.
And before the session had adjourned last weekend, a 24-hour waiting period was passed for women seeking abortions. Why do you think the House proposed this part of the bill without giving that public time for comment?
Yeah, it's one of those things in the operations of government. You know, the pace of the building was fast, and ultimately it was a leadership decision amidst many negotiations in both chambers and both parties. It shouldn't come as any surprise. They've been talking about ways to protect life all session, you know, with the Life Amendment and things like that. And what it came down to was this 24-hour waiting period was approved by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1992, and it wasn't an undue burden. You know, already in Iowa code, it exists waiting periods for certain things. So, that, you know, it's 90 days you have to wait to get a divorce, and you have to wait 72 hours to get a marriage certificate or to adopt a child and things like that. So 24 hours didn't seem like an undue burden or extreme, you know, for such a life-changing decision. And that's all it did. You know, it didn't affect the 20 weeks, didn't make anything else illegal. All it was simply a 24-hour waiting period. And we didn't feel like that was a huge undue burden or that it should come as any surprise that the Republicans in both the House and the Senate are looking for ways to protect life.
You voted in favor to expand the voter ID law to early in-person voting and restrict election officials from using government databases to fill in incorrect or incomplete absentee ballot requests that had also passed in the legislature. Would you like to give some thoughts on that?
Sure. First, I would probably disagree with the framing of the question in that it's not a restriction. Rather, it provides, in my opinion, and how I read it and how it reads, that rather it provides a bit more fraud protection. Listen, I want to be clear. I love that there's an ability to vote absentee by mail. I've done it multiple times, but the fact is in-person voting is much more secure. And all this bill does is affect the small amount that are not filled out completely or filled out incorrectly. It just requires the auditor to verify the identity of the person who's filled out his or her info incorrectly. That's it. If you vote in person or fill out your absentee correctly, you're not affected. Now, let me say that again. You can still vote as you always have, in person or absentee. But on the absentee, if you fill out the info wrong or incompletely, you will just simply need to verify your identity, period.
Do you think with the COVID-19 pandemic, that absentee voting might be something that we might need to rely on come November?
Sure. Sure. I think it very well could. You never know. I know the bill also searched to solve the problem of there were certain voting precincts closed down. I know in Pottawatomie County, they usually have 12 voting precincts and they were limited to 2. And, you know, a lot of people that relied on voting in person had to drive an hour to vote, and that can't happen. You know, so, you know, we work to fix that as well. And there's just, we want everyone to be able to vote, but in that same vein, we want to eliminate the fraud too. I mean, I think we owe it to the electorate to protect that sacred right. We want to make sure as many people can vote as possible, but we also want to make sure that it is that said person voting and not someone who is trying to cheat or affect our elections negatively in any way.
What bills didn't pass this session do you hope to push through next year?
Oh, man. I mean, there was a lot that hit the chopping block. Again, you know, the fast-paced nature, the fact that, you know, ultimately we, in the special session, we needed to pass a budget. There's a couple bills I worked on with some constituents that, you know, weren't obviously high priorities for either chamber. They were more high priorities for me trying to help my constituents. So I'd like to, you know, redraft those again as well. For those that follow, have followed my limited political career here, I've been a champion for connecting all Iowans to broadband service for at least a 25-3 connection. So not every one of my bills that I worked on in that area crossed the finish line. You know, a lot of them passed the House with flying colors and bipartisan support, but, you know, went over to the Senate to find their graveyard. So we'll have to look at why that was and how I can make it better and how I can get more bipartisan support, not only in the House, but in the Senate, and see what we can get across the finish line next year.
Any final thoughts that you'd like to give as we wrap up this final interview during the 2020 legislative session?
Sure. I just want to thank those in Dallas County, Guthrie County, Adair County, and Cass County that have put their faith in me as their representative and their voice up there. I understand that not all of us are going to agree on every issue, and that's what makes us a great country and a unique country. But I want everyone to know that if you email me and call me and reach out to me, especially respectfully, but even those that have been quite rude, I try to take that message and relay it to our caucus and to truly be your voice up at the Capitol. Whether I agree with said voice or not, I always like to kind of poll people and poll the emails and things I receive and try and find a true voice. And this is what people are saying in my district. And that's very important to me, to be as bipartisan as I can, to simply be your voice up there. And so I want to thank you for allowing me to do that for the first couple of years. And I guess I'd ask for your support again for these next two.
That's been today's Let's Talk Guthrie County program with State House District 20 Representative Ray Sorensen, closing out the 2020 Iowa legislative session. I'm Sam McIntosh. You can find this program online at raccoonvalleyradio.com.